Got the Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 14. Hope you do have your Bibles. Joshua chapter 14. Let's all stand. We'll give honor to reading of God's Word. Joshua chapter 14. All right. The Bible says, and these are the countries then which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commandeth by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe on the other side of Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land upon where thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. Thou heardest in the day that how the Anakim were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just move me out of the way. Lord, I pray that you would just preach through me and give me the words and wisdom to speak. Pray that you just be at their service tonight. Lord, also, I can't pray being here without praying for our pastor. Lord, I pray that you'd be with him as well as he's preaching tonight in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Years ago, when I was probably about 12 years old, I surrendered to preach down at Castle Rock Baptist Camp. And I love camp, as preacher would say. I can't say it like he does, you know, that I love camp. But I love Castle Rock Camp. It's a great place. I surrendered to preach down there. I was ordained to preach. My wife and I, we started dating down at camp. And I just have a lot of great memories of camp. If you've ever been as a camper down to camp, especially during junior camp, they always climb Castle Rock. And pretty much all of the kids, they cannot get out of it. They at least have to do something, unless they have some type of medical deal where they've got something that says they can't do it. They all climb at least to the lookout point at Castle Rock. I remember the first time that I was down there, we went down and they split up into three groups. And they had three different groups that they went up, and I enjoyed going there. And I've climbed that mountain so many different times. It kind of gets a little old after you've been up it, you know, 20-something times or more. But I remember one time we were at family camp, and we had a pastor friend of ours that came through, and his daughters were singing and different things like that. And he had asked if I would take him up the mountain because he's never been. And I thought, boy, it's just easy. You just go to the trail, you follow the trail, you get to the top. How hard is it, you know? And so I told him, I said, sure, I'll take you up. And he gave me $20 for it. I thought, hey, this is great. I could do this every year and just charge to take people up to the top of Castle Rock and make some money out of it. But as we were going, I'd already surrendered to preach, and we started talking, and as we were going, we were talking about how climbing the mountain had some similarities to the Christian life. And before we got to the top, we had at least 20 points that we had came up with. So I hope you're comfortable tonight. The problem is that was so many years ago, I don't remember them. I didn't have a piece of paper, and I was writing down as I was hiking. So we're lucky. We only get about maybe 4 or 5 points to go through. But if you think about it, the Christian life is very similar to climbing up a mountain. We have the path that we're supposed to take. You go down to Castle Rock. How many have ever climbed Castle Rock Mountain? Well, there's a good bit. Bringing back memories, huh? Scott, you've been up to the top? Man. Yeah? How'd it go? No. So a lot of us have been up there. We know kind of the idea. You start off and you go down the road. You get to the starting point. And right there it tells you, you know, what's the elevation and all of that to go up it. And then you start to climb. And the path is laid out there for you. You got to just go. In Romans chapter 12, very familiar passage, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we climb that mountain, as we kind of go in our Christian life, the God's will is there for us. He has the path already laid out for us. He already knows where He would like for us to go, how we'd like to do it, He would like for us to do it. And He even orders our steps. In Psalms 37, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. So He has the path, and then He orders our steps. You would think that if the path is laid out, our steps are ordered, that it would be easy for us to just follow the path. Just like I was thinking when that pastor friend of ours asked to go and take him to the top. Well, there's the path. You just start, you get to the top. It's pretty easy. But it's not that easy, because you really, if you've never been on it before, you don't know what the path holds for you. You always can't see what's beyond. Usually you can just see just a small portion of the path, and that's it. You climb Storm Castle, and you do so many different switchbacks, and there are times that you don't get to see pretty much the entire way. Even as you get to the top, it seems like it's just never-ending, and it drags on and all that. But you don't always get to see what is laid out for you. It's usually just small little pieces that you get. And that's how God is with us. He doesn't reveal to us everything that we're going to do. Because a lot of times, if He showed us all the things that was going to happen in our lives, we'd get too scared and back out. Because it'd be too much. But He gives us just enough. And then He gives us the strength to get through the path that we're at right now. And you think that even still, when you hear all of that, it'd be easy. But the problem is that we have our own will. We have our own desires. And sometimes it just doesn't line up. My son Marcus and Anthony, then they'd start to color. You know, you get the design and you put it down there, whatever it may be, and they'd start to color. And a few years ago, when they were younger, Marcus, he'd still try really hard to stay within the guide, so to speak. He'd try to stay within the lines, and then he'd just ever so lightly go outside of it. And then you'd look over at Anthony and you really didn't even need anything on the page because all it is crayon marks back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then he'd give it to you and say, look what I did. And every parent says, boy, you did a good job. Yeah. What happened? What he was supposed to color was there. And you get your idea of what you want to do, color, coordination, and all that, but what he just did whatever he wanted. He just went to town, and he didn't care about the lines or anything like that. He just colored the page. Didn't stay within what he was supposed to. And sometimes that's the way we are. As we go through and the path is laid out for us and God says, okay, this is what I want you to do, but we kind of fight it just a little bit. I don't really want to do all of that. Or we get distracted just a little bit and we just kind of veer away from where we're supposed to be. Going back to my first time climbing, we broke into three groups. Dave Sprunger, a good friend of ours, he used to be here playing his banjo and all that. He had the first group. They were the advanced, the fast group. Then he had the intermediate group, you know, that kind of would go along at a good, decent pace. Then you had the slow group. As we were going on, I was part of that fast group, and I was getting ahead, we were getting ahead of everybody else. And I remember we got to a point where we couldn't see everybody, and I staggered back a little bit with the person that I was with. We slowed down a little bit. We couldn't see Brother Sprunger anymore. And we looked behind us, and we were so far ahead from everybody else that we couldn't see them either, and so we just kept on going. And we got to a point where we said, what are we supposed to do? I've never been up it before. And I looked and I saw the trail up ahead. And it seemed like at that time that we were going absolutely nowhere. We'd just kind of go on the trail and we'd see the top and we'd see that we're getting closer to it. But then it kind of seemed like we weren't making any ground whatsoever. And I started to get a little nervous thinking that maybe we were doing something wrong, and I looked up and I saw a trail up ahead, and I decided to take a shortcut. And I looked and I said, I can just get straight up there. And as I started to just climb straight up the mountain and kind of go my own way, all I heard was Brother Sprunger yell down and say, hey, stay on the path. And then he told me this. Shortcuts, when you take a shortcut on the trail, it ruins the trail for everybody else. It ruins it for everybody else. We're supposed to stay on the path that God has given us. He orders our steps. He gives us the light to take the next step. Sometimes we kind of veer away and we take a shortcut. We think, boy, I think I can get away with just doing this. I think I don't have to go to church all the time. I think, I can excuse it because, you know, we're having family time or we're going out to do this or that. A hunting season's coming up and, you know, got to go after that. I don't have to follow every single thing. And we kind of take those shortcuts. We get in the car and, you know, we know there's a certain type of music that glorifies God. But we turn that dial to the music that really just kind of feeds our flesh. The type that we like to hear. And that can be anything from contemporary Christian music to rock and roll to country to you name it. And it's there. If you're looking for something that's going to just appease your fleshly desire, it's not really appeasing God. Doesn't glorify Him. You're just listening it for you to feel good. But we think of those shortcuts and we think, oh, I can just do this. It's all right because when I get to church, I know all the church songs. I can sing them. That's not a problem. And we have an idea that it doesn't bother me when I do this. It has no effect on me. I can still be a good Christian. I can still have the attitude that I'm supposed to have. I can still do this. I just dip just a little bit and veer just a little bit. And the whole time we have people that are behind us that are following us on our path. And what happens? When we veer off the path and we take a shortcut, or we think we know better than what God does, or we just want to do our own thing, we've got kids behind us. I think of my boys. The confusion that I can create for them. For the most part, they tell us that, hey, it's Saturday, and they'll say, all right, tomorrow's Sunday, we're going to church. Marcus was talking with, I think it was Tina, somebody that when we were at the viewing, and he's talking about something, and he said, oh, Sunday is church day. He knew it. But if I were to say, oh, it's okay, Marcus, we're not going to go to church today because we've got you enrolled in soccer, and we want you to play soccer. And it's okay, we're just going to miss church for a little bit while you go play soccer. What have I just done for him? I've created confusion for him. Automatically in the back of his mind, he starts to think there's something that is more important than church. And so I don't have to go. Then when he gets older, the standards that I have, he's just a little bit sliding down from those. And he says, well, we miss church every once in a while for something like soccer. Well, then I guess I can just go whenever I feel like it. Why? Because the shortcut that I have taken has created confusion for those that are following behind us. We have to stay on the path that God has given us. Secondly, everybody climbs at different speeds. Well, this is tough for some people. Because when you look at other people and how they are in their Christian life, sometimes we get the feeling either, one, I wish I was like them, which that's not bad, or those of us that are further along, we look back and say, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you doing the same things that I'm doing? I don't get it. Why can't you be faithful? Why can't you be active? And we look at it and say, I know how I am. And we compare ourselves to other people that are in the Christian life. And then what happens is we kind of, in our own mind, we categorize people and say, okay, well, they're kind of not as strong of Christians, or they're newer Christians, so we'll put them over here. And we've got other people that have been saved longer, and they're kind of over here in their Christian life, and they're farther along than these people. And it's kind of gets a little frustrating for some people. Because everybody's kind of going at their own speed. You get some people, if you look in the New Testament, you have Barnabas in Acts chapter 4, verses 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, we just read in Joshua chapter 14 that the Levites weren't supposed to have it. They were supposed to have cities and things like that, but they didn't have a huge portion. But here, Barnabas, he has land, and he sells it, and he brings the money to the church, and then they divided it out. He laid it at the apostles' feet. And he goes a little bit. He jumps in full feet. He jumps in and says, hey, I'm getting on board with this. And then Barnabas goes and he starts preaching. He starts doing all these different things. And he gets in with Paul. And he really gets aggressive. And then what happens? You have Ananias and Sapphira. And they see what Barnabas did, and they kind of look at that and say, wow, look at all of the accolades that he's getting. We could have some of that too. But they didn't do it the right way too. I wonder if part of it was they had a desire to be like Barnabas, but not the desire to work the same way that he was, to sacrifice the same way that he was. We have different speeds, and here's the important part. It's not so much as far as who is where on the mountain. What matters is the direction that you're going. That's the important part. See, if you're a Christian that's been saved for a number of years and you know the scripture, you know the word of God by heart, you can pull out, you know, preacher starts preaching a message and you start filling it, you know, you quote scripture and you'll spit it out and you know what he's saying, you know what he's talking about. You say, oh, I've heard something like this before. You've been around, you've know, but maybe you're not as active as you used to be. Maybe in your heart, you're kind of going the opposite direction. On the outside, on the appearance, it looks right. But God knows our hearts. God knows the direction that we're going. He knows whether we're trying to continue to move on, follow God, or He knows if we're kind of taking a couple steps backwards. He knows if we're falling behind, starting to backslide just a little bit. Brother Jake Spears, when I was in Bible college, he used to say that backsliding, it's not a blowout. As you drive along and all of a sudden, boom, your tire's gone. It's not like that. It's a slow leak. Over time, you start changing just a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, and you don't even realize it. And you just slowly been going backwards with the appearance of still moving forward. But God knows what's our heart. And He knows what direction we really are going. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. And that's the important part. The important part is to continue to push yourself to go forward in the Christian life and not get stagnant. Sadly, there are some also. So we have the path that's laid before us, not getting on shortcuts because they ruin the path. We have people that move at different speeds. And then we have some people that turn back. Going back to Castle Rock. As soon as we get to Lookout, which we used to tell the kids, oh, it's the halfway mark, which it really isn't. You made it halfway. You can keep on going and, you know, you'll make it. It's not really halfway. It's more like, I don't even think it's a quarter of the way. All it does is you just shoot up straight real quick. And you have the appearance of being up higher, and then as you continue going, it kind of levels out a little bit, and it takes a little bit longer. But once we get to Lookout, preacher would always say, all right, I'm going on, who's going with me? And he'd say, we're starting a line right here of who's going up the mountain. And then he'd always have a counselor that would stand on the other side, that was heading back down. And then he said, if you're going up the mountain, follow me. But if you can't make it anymore and you want to turn back, get in this line here. And every single year, we would always have people that would line up and head back to camp. And they'd have different reasons. Some of them would say, I've already been to the top. I already know what it's like. I don't need to go on anymore. Some would say, well, I just can't physically make it. I'm tired. Or I've got breathing problems and my asthma's kicking up and I need to go back because I'm worried that something could happen. And they'd have these different excuses for why they didn't want to continue climbing up the mountain. And they would turn back. Why? Because it was easier in camp. They could have fun at camp rather than working, climbing a mountain. John chapter 6, verse 66 says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? What happened? They heard some hard preaching. When you read the passage of Scripture, Jesus started teaching and they heard some things that they didn't like. And so because they heard some things that they didn't like, they just stopped. They didn't follow him anymore. Sometimes we're going to hear preaching that we don't really like. Why? Because the preacher's going to stand up here just like he did Sunday and said, this is what the Bible says. This is what we believe right here. And sometimes some of those subjects are hard to hear. Sometimes when he preaches the Word of God and it pricks our heart as only the Word of God can, it's not our pastor that's doing it. The Holy Spirit touches us and says, hey, that's you right there. You need to get rid of that. Hey, that's you right there. You need to change that. And we kind of grip ourselves just a little bit. We don't have pews, so you can't hold on to the pews. But you grab the chair right there and you kind of just hold on and say, oh, it's all right. Preacher's almost done with the invitation. I just got to last a few more seconds and he'll wrap up and pray and we'll go. And maybe this conviction that I've got will kind of go away. And it pricks and it pricks and it pricks. Eventually we don't like it. Oh, he's talking about money again. Talking about tithing. There's no way to do it. It's impossible. I can't afford to do it right now. We don't like it. Because he'll talk about it and he'll preach about it. And he'll say, will a man rob God? And you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Not just tithes, but tithes and offerings. Just as a side note, Renee didn't say anything to me about this. Our missions budget was over $700 short this month. $700. We had, what, $1,300 that came in? About that for September. We don't like hearing that. We don't like hearing the fact that, you know, our wallet or our purse or, you know, our money belongs to God. And that we should give money back to Him because we're showing God, hey, you're more important than this money. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but you're more important. I'm going to show you this by giving up this 10%, and I'm going to give a little bit more to show you that I really do love you. And then I'm just going to wait and see how you meet our needs. I'm going to step out on faith. We don't like hearing preaching about that. And it pricks and it pricks and it pricks and it pricks and we get convicted about it. And then it's just a matter of time before we've heard it so many times. We've resisted so many times, we walk away. We go to other churches where there is no conviction in the preaching. We go to other churches that have different doctrines because then we feel better there. Because we're emotional people. We also go away. Hey, when you hear some preaching and it's hard and it's convicting, are we going to give up our pride? Are we going to humble ourselves, come forward and get down at the altar and say, okay, God, that was me. You spoke to my heart. I'm going to get it right. Are we going to walk out the doors the same way as we came in? Unchanged. And taken that step backwards in our Christian walk. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. Demas said, the world is so enticing. I like it. And eventually he just left. He abandoned Paul. He turned his back on God because of the world. There was no separation. As we read earlier in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, separated. Something that's different from everything else. Holy. Is Heritage Baptist Church, are the members of Heritage Baptist Church holy? If there's something different about us than everybody else, at your work, are you holy? Around your neighborhood, can people tell there's something different about you? Or are you pretty much just like them? How can we be a light to them if we're just like them? How can we shine for Jesus if we've muffled it and we just try to blend in like a chameleon? Bishop, we love the present world, the TV and the movies and all of that. We get so obsessed and caught up with Hollywood, the fashion trends that are all set by them. And we follow it and we change our clothing to model after them, the hairstyles and all of that modeled after them. Now, I'm not saying that we should go crazy and not look presentable, because I don't agree with that either. I think that a Christian should look nice for God. But are we obsessed with what the world has? And that's all we're consumed about? It's just a matter of time before we, as we take steps backwards, loving the present world, that eventually we just stop following God. They just walked away. They quit. As we look across the auditorium, and his preacher was asking how many people have been here, you know, the 30 years, the 25, the 20. As he gets down to, and he's done it before, as he gets down, there's a period of time where it seems like there's nobody left from that area, from that time frame. And then all of a sudden it goes back down to about 2 years, and then we have a bunch of people from 2 to 0 that are members of our church. And then kind of that, I think it's that 10 to 15 about there's not as much. What happened? Some of them transferred because of the military. Some of it is because of the base and moving some of the planes and things like that out. And some of it's because they left. You still see them around town sometimes, every once in a blue moon. They walked away. For different reasons, they left. They turned their back. Instead of getting in line and saying, I'm going to the top. This preacher said, hey, I'm going to the top. Whoever wants to go with me, fall in line. When he said that, I can't help but think of Paul saying, follow me as I follow Christ. So what happens if Paul stops following Christ? We still follow Christ. And he said, hey, follow me. And that's what preacher is saying to those kids. Get in line and I'll take you to the top. That's the destination. As we go through and we get to the top, boy, it's nice getting up there. It's nice getting victory over the mountain, so to speak. And as Christians, when we go through our struggles and our battles and we still follow on and we still continue to press and we get victories, it sure is nice. The view from the top is great. But the thing is we don't stay up top very long. You get up there, you can rest and relax, and then it's on to another mountain. You climb Castle Rock, you get rested. All right, there's Garnet. Let's go get it. And it's a lot harder. It's bigger. It's more challenging. As Christians, we really don't grow that much on top of the mountain. The place that we grow is on our journey through it. That's where we get stronger. Sometimes people, they get a little overconfident. And I'll end with this. If they get to the point, kind of like I have when I climbed Castle Rock a whole bunch of times, it got to a point where it was no big deal for me anymore. I got comfortable with climbing Castle Rock. 2 Samuel chapter 11 says that it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle. Instead of David going to battle like he was supposed to, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And at that point, right after that, his eyes catch a lady named Bathsheba, and his whole world's turned upside down. I've been to battle enough times. I don't need to. I've got a great person in Joab that'll do the fighting for me. I'll just stay home and relax. Sometimes as we've seen victories and victories and victories, we've been through it, sometimes we relax just a little bit instead of continuing to fight. And if we don't continue to press, that's when we can slip and fall. Well, you hear all the time of people that have slipped and fall. And every single time I tell Preacher Boy, that could be me. If I stop fighting. If I get comfortable, that could be me. Not a single one of us are exempt from it. Satan's going to keep pressing. He's going to try to get us to walk away from it all. Our job is to want the mountain. And all that it has with it. It's difficult at times. It's hard because sometimes you don't know what's up ahead. We just continue pressing on. We get through one battle, we move on to the next. And we just continue to grow. I hope as Heritage Baptist Church we say, give me that mountain. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd be with us. Lord, as we prepare to go home, face the rest of the week. Lord, I pray that we would continue to keep our eyes fixed on you. I pray that we would continue to journey on the mountain. Continue to press, Lord, and not back away. I pray next year, Lord, as we gather together at this same time, that we look around and we don't see people that have walked away, but we've kept the faith. Their heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. We never want to end an invitation without, or end a service without an invitation. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and today's the day of salvation. Maybe there's some of us that, you know, we've had a profession of faith, but really we didn't really mean it. Or maybe we're just doing it just to do it. Anybody here that says, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, say, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to know. If you raise your hand, I'd like to pray for you. All right. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hand, but where are you at? Have you taken a couple steps back? Maybe nobody even knows it. And you've let up just a little bit. Maybe you're getting a little too comfortable. Be careful. When we're comfortable, that's when we slip and fall. I pray that we want the mountain and continue going on. Lord, I thank you that we can gather together here. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our church. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each and every single one of our members, that we would just continue to just follow you. Lord, as your word said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I pray that we would follow the orders. Lord, I pray that you'd also be with our pastor as he's away and heading back tomorrow. I pray that you'd give him safety on the roads. Be with Mrs. Shear as well. She's away from him. And all those that are helping, taking care of her, pray that you'd bless them in your name. Amen.